Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined tonight in person live. It's Howie.
Hi.
And Bobby.
He's back. Howie, not me.
We are physically distanced from each other.
I was here last week.
No. Physically.
He was physically here.
Crap. That's right. I wasn't here. Everything has blended together.
It's the summer of 2020. And anyway, we're all together, though. And it's the first time the three of us are in the same room.
Since March
15th?
15th, yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about right. Yeah, 15th, because we recorded on a Sunday.
Right, and school ended on that Friday, the 13th.
Yes.
For everybody.
It has been a long while. Too damn long.
Yes.
But we've made it to August. You know what August means? There are several things going on. One, I go back to work this week. I am super excited. In fact, the day that this show drops, I will be back to work, and I'm very happy about that.
We're excited for Craig going back to
work. We're very happy and excited about that.
Second thing that's happening in August, we have baseball, we have hockey, we have basketball. I watched a hockey game or two yesterday. I'm afraid baseball's going to end sooner rather than later. I don't think they're going to make it through their season.
They're on the verge of announcing another outbreak with the Cardinals.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were thinking that the team may have to, like, forego the entire season.
At this point, there are some teams that are actually adhering to the protocols. So, for as much as people give the commissioner of baseball grief, I think I said it last week or I told somebody else, he's just a figurehead for the owners at this point. I know that the owners assume all the risk, but the virus has always been in control. I don't care that the narrative was about money. So, with the commissioner needs to look at is what is in the best interest of the sport. Right now, you got the Marlins who have to quarantine because half their team did something stupid. No one really knows what it is because it hasn't been announced.
The Phillies are involved
the
there.
The Phillies had a couple people test positive, but then it wound up being false positives, and then we find out later that they're not even players, they're front office staff. So the players are okay. Or maybe it was like one or two players, but it wasn't an outbreak. Now there's this news that's slowly building to what I anticipate will be an outbreak among the Cardinals. So the question becomes, do you basically tell these teams, all right, we're going to reschedule this game, we're going to reschedule this game, but if you screw up again, is it going to be like baseball's three strikes and you're out rule or three teams and you're out rule? Because some teams are adhering to everything, some teams are not.
Here's the problem. There's so many games postponed now, they're going to have to push the season a little bit. And I know that it probably won't happen, but if there's a lot of forfeits going on, the Blue Jays could make the playoffs. And we get snow starting around November, so
it's I don't even want to predict what's going to happen with baseball, but I think the biggest thing, and I think Bobby's going to chime in here, if baseball, which is about as non-contact a sport as there is, fails, what does that mean for football?
He's going to go Powerpuff flag football.
Is there going to be football?
There won't be football. There was people dropping out every day.
Well, you have players that are opting out because they've been given the option to opt out. Some of them are doing it for COVID. Some of them are doing it for other reasons, but they're taking the option.
They're doing it so the Patriots could get Trevor Lawrence number one overall. Ooh. I'm sure we've all seen that conspiracy theory by now,
That's
right?
Why they have seven of them who have dropped out.
Yeah. People are like, oh, Belichick's a genius. He's making all these Patriots drop out due to COVID so that he could tank the season. I don't think it's going to matter.
No.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I mean, we've got one doctor who's like, you need to wear a face shield. I've seen the funny memes on Facebook where you've got the fan attached to your head so you can do the Kenneth Copeland and blow COVID away. But the football season, it's contact. It's physical. Are players going to get sick?
How about a personal force field?
I don't think we're quite there yet. Because I would really like to have one.
I must have had one of those in high school because no matter how hard I tried, I got Howied.
I hope there's a football season. I really do. They're doing training camp. They scrapped all the preseason games. Which
Buffalo sent their rookies home already. Because they've had an outbreak.
See, here's the thing. We have to look at least in my mind, and you know, everybody's got their opinion on this, but we are opening up more and more things. We're trying to get our sports teams going back. Why? Because Americans find great stress relief, and we always find great entertainment in watching our sports and rooting for our favorite team and talking trash about the teams that we hate the most. Patriots and the Eagles.
And the Eagles, I was going to say.
So I want the season to happen. I don't know if it's going to. But as we open more and more stuff, it stands to reason that we're going to get more and more positive cases. But we're also testing more and more, so you're finding stuff more and more as well.
The problem with football is going to be the same problem with baseball that hockey and the NBA are not going to have. Hockey and the NBA built bubbles. They're not going anywhere. They're playing in one spot.
But there's also a difficult comparison to make there, which is hockey and basketball, when they restarted just a couple days ago,
they only had part of the season left.
Forget they only had part of the season left. Is the NBA in a playoff mode right now, or are they playing regular season games?
They're doing regular season games. Yeah.
Okay, so the NBA is finishing up some regular season games. Okay, good for them. But they're playing all of their games in one bubble in Orlando.
Every single basketball game is being played in Orlando.
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes.
So they're basically all holed up in Disney World, which is crazy to think about, because unless I've missed the story, we're not seeing stories of people coming down with COVID from Disney World, which is reopened. Have I missed this story?
They're in a spot that's...
But my point is, even the people who are going to the park, which is opened, we're not seeing stories about people coming or testing positive for the virus.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
I haven't seen a story. I'm sure it would have been all over the place, and it would have had to shut down again.
So when whoever wins the... I was going to call it the Stanley Cup. Whenever they win the championship in the NBA...
I don't even know what that trophy is called.
I don't know.
It should be called the Bill Russell Trophy, like the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
I don't know.
Because Bill Russell is the greatest NBA player to ever have lived and will ever be in the NBA. Right. But anyway, that's a debate for another time.
They could call it the James Naismith.
They should.
That's what they do call it.
Win that this year and they get paid by Disney World to say, I'm going to Disney World, they're going to say, heck no,
I'm going home.
Yes.
That's what they're going to
exactly.
say. Meanwhile, the NHL forwent, is that the proper use of that word? They got rid of the last 10, 11 games of everybody's schedule. They seeded 24 teams out of 31, and Sabres fans were all upset, like, oh my God, we should have been in that 24th. Like, listen, if you're one of the worst 7 teams, don't complain. But that's neither here nor there.
How Montreal got in is beyond me, but I was super happy they won last night because I cannot stand the Penguins.
Meanwhile, somebody said if Pittsburgh winds up losing in the first round and gets the first pick overall, this is all a sham. Yeah, but the NHL took 24 teams. They've got a round-robin tournament to figure out the top 4 seeds in each conference. The point is, with the NHL having 2 bubbles, one in Toronto and I believe the other one in Vancouver, and the NBA having 1 bubble, they are much more able to control players who are playing. Tomorrow, for instance, I know there's like, what, a dozen NHL games? Not a dozen, but like 8 or 9 NHL. I think 8. There's got to be a minimum of 8. If they're going to start, do 4 at a time, so you figure 8 NHL games, a full slate of baseball, a whole bunch of basketball. It's going to be a Vegas gambler's dream. But when it all comes down to it, baseball's treading on very thin ice. Football, the issue with football isn't so much the whole thing about not knowing. It's, we're talking about the pros. What about college? What about...
It's not happening.
I don't think college is going to happen. The Pac-12 came out today, their athletes, and said, we're going to boycott until you can show to us what you're going to do to protect us. And that's one of the 5 Power 5 conferences.
What does that mean for scholarships, though? There's a thin line there.
I don't know, but how can an organization... And this is where I don't have the answer. I'm just throwing out the question. How can an organization like the NCAA, which has been shown over the last several years to truly just exploit its student athletes in general, how can they sit there and say, oh, well, we're really concerned about our student athlete safety, but you need to come here and you need to play these games, but we're not going to let you capitalize on your likeness or anything like that.
We were talking about this earlier because about the waivers that people have to sign.
Yeah.
These colleges are asking student athletes to sign waivers that the college is not responsible if they get sick while playing their sport for the college.
Okay. The whole point of getting the of going to school on an athletic scholarship is to play that sport and be the athlete that they recruited you for, so they can sell tickets and make money.
Right.
And make a big name for their college and have other people that want to go there and ultimately
someone
sell
threw
merchandise.
Out the number that NCAA football brings in $1 billion of profit each month that they play for the NCAA, which is dispersed among the schools.
I believe it.
$1 billion,
totally
which is why it's a huge deal for these colleges. But I think we've discussed this before, at least personally between us. Jim Harbaugh makes $8 million at a public university.
See, that's ridiculous to me.
But you're turning away kids who would qualify to go to that college because they cannot afford to go there. But you're paying the coach of the football team $8 million.
To me, at a public university, having how much money does Nick Saban make? I'm sure it's probably more.
Isn't
than
he
that.
Number one?
I'm yeah, sure I think he's like number
he's like
one.
9.1 or something like
the,
that.
The, something like that.
The biggest issue I have with the whole thing right now, and it might change, is for the NCAA to tell their student athletes, "We need you on campus so you can go to the play these games and make us money." And the next breath, somewhere behind closed doors, they're saying, "But we're not going to let you. We're going to make you ineligible if you sell your autograph, or you sell your photo, or you sign a endorsement deal with a local company." Because
or if your recruiter gets you hookers while you're still in high school,
that too,
because that's happened.
And at the same time, they're also telling students, "Oh, by the way, if you want to distance learn, or if you don't want to come to campus, or don't come to campus, that's okay, but we want our student athletes here because we need money." See, there's a very large disconnect there. You can't tell students who are playing a sport for you, "You need to be here," and tell the students who are not playing a sport for you, "Stay away." Something's wrong there. They haven't come out and done that yet, but I got a feeling it's going to be happening at several schools across the country.
Which makes a great segue, but before we get into that segue, I have to make one more observation. What other team lost yesterday that should have won in hockey?
I only watched one game, so
Edmonton lost.
Okay.
If they lose and get number one, how many number one overall picks have they had in the last 12 years?
And how much of a difference will it have made? Yeah, they cannot get the number one pick. If you had told me 5 years ago that we'd be sitting here having this conversation, and that of the big four sports commissioners, Gary Bettman would not be number 10, and he'd be instead like battling for number two, I would have laughed in your face. And I used those numbers exactly how I meant them used. Bettman would have been 10th out of four 5 years ago. Right now, he's...
In Buffalo, he's still sevener.
Right, but right now, he's shortly behind Adam Silver of the NBA. Manfred is he's in a world of pain right now that I don't envy him, but at the same time, I'm a baseball fan, so I don't want to. And Goodell is just... He doesn't know how to get out of his own way. Bettman, somehow, through all of this, has weathered the storm. He's been in the league now for, 25, 30 years almost?
He's the first commissioner of the NHL. He was the deputy commissioner of the NBA. They didn't have a commissioner before that.
Who was the commissioner? There was a commissioner before.
No, there wasn't.
Wasn't?
No.
Wasn't the guy, was it Ziegler?
Nope. They had a head of the board of governors, but there wasn't actually a commissioner. So Gary Bettman has been the only commissioner of the NHL.
Well, my conspiracy theory has always been David Stern, former commissioner of the NBA, looked around his office and said, "Hey,
What weight do we have?"
Exactly. Let's offshoot him to the NHL. And that's what the NHL got stuck with. Three lockouts later, here we are. And somehow or another, Bettman still is. He's like a cockroach in Wally. He won't go away.
And Major League Baseball should have stuck with the Grapefruit Cactus Leagues and left it at that.
They probably could have made it work with only the Grapefruit League. Based on what I'm reading, Arizona would have been too hot, and they don't have enough domed stadiums. And you can't play baseball starting at noon in 120-degree heat.
Hey, guess what? Buffalo has a great stadium. We can play. Just saying, we can put a major league team here.
Cuomo's... we're going to be talking about school in a minute, I'm going to guess.
Yes?
All right. So I'm going to segue into it this way. Our governor here in New York State has started talking about inviting all of Major League Baseball into New York to play out the rest of its season.
The whole state. Because when I first read it, I thought it meant New York City, but
no,
he means the entire
state. You got Buffalo, you got Rochester, you got Syracuse, you got Binghamton right along the thruway in 81. Then you got New York City, where you got the Mets, you got the Yankees, you got the Brooklyn Cyclones, you got the Staten Island Yankees.
Ebbets Field. I'm joking.
I wish, right? But you've got, 8-9 stadiums right there that are at least major league dimensions. You want to throw Batavia into the mix. You want to throw in, heck, Olean's got a New York collegiate baseball
team. The problem is the lighting, because Major League Baseball, for some reason, even though nobody's doing anything all day, is insisting on night games.
They could play so many day games and get everything in. They could. They won't, because it makes sense and, you know, the almighty dollar, but they could. Meanwhile, he's inviting all these teams in. But no, what I say goes when it comes back to school. I don't care what your plan is. I'm going to be the one in charge, and I'm going to say yay or nay based on whatever information I have. What's the information?
Well,
I want to know.
You're talking about him inviting all these major league teams, and how many are there?
30.
Okay, so 30 teams. There's what, roughly 30 actual players?
Figure 30 teams, figure 30 players to an active roster, slowly decreasing as the season goes along. So we'll figure 30. We'll stick with the 30 times
That's
30.
900.
So now we're up at 900. 900. Now we're 900 players. Include the coaches and the staff. Let's throw in an extra.
You're probably 1,000 people.
You're easily over 1,000.
You're probably closer to 1,200 based on everything else.
Yeah.
Then you throw in other team personnel and the players on the taxi squad.
Right.
You're looking at about 2,000 people.
I was going to say, so they're having an issue with COVID in Major League Baseball, but I want to invite between, we'll say, on the low end 1,200, high end about 2,000 people who could potentially have this into New York State when we have, and I hate the damn phrase, but flatten the curve, okay? And I'm waiting on the emperor to tell me if I can send my kids back to school, but I want to bring in these 2,000 people who might be bringing in COVID with it and could spread it throughout my state. Do as I say, not as I do.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's irritating.
It's always been do as I say, not as I do with Andrew Cuomo, because he went to Georgia and said he didn't have to quarantine when he got back because he was essential. To whom?
Well, he's not essential to Western New York as far as I'm concerned.
He doesn't think wings are real food. How dare he?
Exactly. And he probably, that lousy two-bit punk probably dips him in ranch, too.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
So anyway, schools had to submit plans to the state, and they had to be in by July 31st. Mm-hmm. So we got our plan for Lockport on that Friday. Pretty much like the steam plate type of thing where you just plug in everything that's going on. They're going to go with, if they do go with a hybrid, it's every other day, depending on the last name of your...
Now, are we certain it's an every other day, or is it going to be like you got your two A days, which
it's every other day. Roy Hart is doing, it's two A A's, day, A day, day off,
to clean,
BB.
Yeah, AA, day off, BB. I think that's a great model, because your lovely bride was talking to my wife about it the other day when she dropped off some kids at the house, and it was... You get in on a Monday, you cough, you fart, you burp all over the classroom. You come back to the same burp and fart zone that you just created in that classroom. Now then, instead of having a new group come in without cleaning, you've got the same group in there for the same day. You shut the school down, you clean on Wednesday. Everyone on Wednesday is doing stuff online. And then now your B group, who has done 3 days of online, Monday through Wednesday, is now going in person Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. Apparently, I'm just ridiculous today.
Seems like a easier way to do it. And everyone's going to complain. There's not going to be any clear winner in any of these things. You're always going to have somebody who complains about it. And we're in an unprecedented situation. So we have to think outside the box and think about what's going to be best for the students overall when it comes to their education. Hanging out with their friends, not being able to go to school with their friend, is the least of the school's concerns. And I've seen a lot of people complaining that their child is not going to be able to go to school with their best friend.
I've seen it too.
I understand that the social aspect of school is an important aspect of school, but now you're going to be with kids that are different from your normal friends. You're still going to be friends with those old friends. Yeah. You could get new friends out of this now you're stuck with this person. And they're going to, they call them cohorts. Cohorts?
Cohort.
Where they're going to try to keep all the kids together as much as possible, leave them in one room and bring teachers in and out rather than having the kids walk the school.
That lessens the odds, I guess you could say.
Right.
I mean, you guys are talking Lockport. You mentioned the Roy Hart plan. For the Medina plan right now, as far as I know, it's pre-K to 6. They're going in school every day, and they're going to stay in the room. Lunch is in the room. As far as I know about library and recess stuff, I don't think it's going to happen. Everything is in one room. grades 7 through 12 will be going, some people will be going Monday, Wednesday, some people will be going Tuesday, Thursday, and the Fridays will be flipping on and off. So some people will go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
What
some people will go
pain
Tuesday, Thursday,
to remember
Friday.
That.
So it's going to be something like that. And they're staggering bus runs. They're doing a couple other different things. After hearing the Lockport plan, after hearing the Royhardt plan that you guys just kind of outlined, because, of course, I'm sure there's more details we're not getting into because we don't know them all. We only know the basics because we're like any other parent. How is it going to affect me and my kids, right?
Well, yeah.
But I think ultimately, at the end of all of this, a lot of schools are going to look and see what worked for them, what worked somewhere else, and how can what worked somewhere else help the school fix what might not have worked for them. Let's look at this positively, because I'm tired of dealing with all the negative crap going on. If in the end, somehow or another, school districts in the region figure out, hey, block scheduling works for us, would you like to see what we did and maybe you can adapt it to your district or something like that? I mean, there's positives that can come out of this.
Well, that's the one thing I'm thinking that could happen. I think that there'll be 5 weeks and then there'll be like a caution flag where they're going to say, okay, we're going to take these first 5 weeks, make sure that this works. We're going to take a week off to do another deep cleaning of the school. And then we may tweak the schedule from our learning pains from the first 5 weeks. I could see that happening.
Right. And I'm sorry, I've said a lot, so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that let's go with the positivity. I'm going to go with the positivity for a minute, and then I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into the positivity because it's something to think about, though. So let's say it works. They do what Craig is saying. Okay, we had 5 weeks. We're going to do the caution flag. We're going to do a deep cleaning. We're going to keep, we tweak the plan. We're moving forward. Things are working. What happens when flu season gets here? What happens with the roller coaster weather when seasonal allergies come back? Kids get sniffles, kids are coughing, kids are sneezing. Flu is going around. The common cold is going around, which is part of the COVID family.
Right.
And so let's say you go get tested, you pop hot for COVID. Not necessarily COVID-19, but you're in the coronavirus family. Like, what is this going to do? I mean, I'm more worried about the parents, like the panic that's going to ensue. Oh, I got to rip my baby out of school. And then here goes kids getting ripped out of school. And then here goes another parent following suit. And then I'm scared just like every other parent is. I hate the quarantine. I hate the masks. But I understand, you know, it's worked. It's done what it's supposed to. And I begrudgingly am glad that we have done it because our infection rate is really, really low compared.
It's worked in New York.
It really has because New Yorkers were like, you know what? We hate this. Screw you. But we're doing it anyway. And we did it. And we're still doing it. But I'm like, you know, I have a kid who has asthma. And so for kids who already have a respiratory condition, she's already has a weaker immune system than most kids anyway. So obviously, I'm really concerned. And then, let's say she does get it. She brings it home. My mother lives with my family and I. She has COPD. So I'm sure I'm not the only family out there like that. So needless to say, I have genuine concerns. I mean, and you guys know me, I'm not a fear monger, and I'm just like, you know what? That's not what I do. I try to look at things logically and everything. So I do have legitimate concerns. As soon as we told the kids, you're going to have an A and a B day, and they're like, so are we going to be in the school? And I'm like, yes. They were all happy.
We had that too. I do have a concern with my wife because she has a compromised immune system from thyroid problems and cancer. So there's that. Is she a higher risk? Yes, but she's fairly healthy, so that does set my mind at ease. The cool thing as a parent that happened was when we got the opening plan or the reopening plan or what they want to do, my kids asked the question, what about band? What about gym class? What about chorus? That was the first thing they asked about. What about, how are we going to do this? They're not like, oh no, we got to go back to school. They wanted to know about those three things. Then they wanted to know, how are we going to do different things?
They wanted to know about their social life and the extracurriculars that go on with school that associated with it.
Here's the thing. It wouldn't surprise me if the schools are like, we're not doing drama. We're not doing these extracurriculars because it's added stuff that it's extracurricular, meaning it's extra. Right.
They're going to try to do them as much as they can.
They've already postponed every sports season, though.
Right.
And the New York State Field Band Conference, they've canceled their entire slate of events.
They asked for two other things. Are the supply lists out yet so I know what I need to have?
I believe they are.
They are, yes. And then the last thing was, are we still following a schedule on our remote days, meaning are we still going to follow our daily class schedule, or are we going to, is it going to be a free-for-all, and it's going to be a schedule?
From what I read in the email, they're going to be taking attendance for yes. online, and then you're going to have a daily set of tasks with every class to get done. So it's basically going to be like a normal day of school, but at home. It's going to be way more structured than what we just went through, because what they went through was really just to keep them from losing what they had already gained.
And basically, they did it in 4 days. They come up with that plan in 4 days.
And
it mostly worked. It was hell on wheels for 2.5 months, but they were able to pull it out of the fire and make it something work.
What they did before, when everything shut down, as I saw I think it was a Medina superintendent tweeted something regarding what the governor's plan committee said or whatever. He was like, how many times are we going to be asked to build a plane in the air? So that's essentially what they did back in March, was they built a plane in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents, I mean, I'm sure even we got a little upset with it at times, because we were all a little critical of it because we didn't know what to expect.
Right.
And looking back on it, it's like, you know, wow, you know, some teachers really stepped up. A lot of them tried. Some of them, and I'm sure it was like that in every district, some of them probably could have done a lot better. But a lot of them did what they could with what they had to work with. And the problem is, in this region of the state, not everybody has internet access. So you can't rely on everybody using their phone or their laptop or whatever. That's a problem.
And even if you do have internet access, think about our house, for example, because we are trying to figure out the logistics of this, if they're going to do, because I'm pretty positive that school's not going to be in session for very long. They're going to go the route of the Major League Baseball, start out with the greatest of intentions, and end up being full remote.
Let's look at your five-week thing, Dove, just for a second.
Okay.
School in Medina, I know, starts the Wednesday after Labor Day.
Right.
If you were to take it all the way up to, I'm going to call it Columbus Day until it's named something else, all right, that's 4.5 weeks. Do you make that typical Monday off a full week off?
You could.
And there, you're only essentially adding 4 days to vacation, right?
Right.
I mean, I know SUNY schools have announced that there is to be no more in-person instruction as of Thanksgiving. That's essentially when winter break begins. So there might be some online stuff after that, but that makes sense. They're basically giving themselves an extra month. So if you take it up to Columbus Day and you give yourself not just that day, but maybe the rest of the week or another 2 days off, and then you go the rest of October and you see what happens. 3 weeks from then, make
Thanksgiving week.
Well, you could take it up to Veterans Day, which is on a Wednesday. So you take that week off. And then you basically take off Thanksgiving.
To Christmas.
You
get up to Christmas.
You do.
And then by then, I think once you come back from Christmas break, we're back to more normal standards.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's hoping that normalcy comes back after New Year's.
Well, I think a lot of it still depends on a vaccine. Now, I know Moderna's got one out there. Over in Europe, there's supposed to be like 60 different places that have vaccines, whether they're in animal trials or human trials. Kodak.
My kids are animals, so they need to test them. Go ahead.
Yeah. But then there's the whole, you know, the people who don't want the vaccine. How's that going to affect them? Because, you know, a lot of them have fought and won to get their kids in school. But if this is truly as deadly as everyone's making this out to be, if your kid doesn't get the vaccine, maybe your kid shouldn't be in public school.
Maybe.
I'm just throwing that out there, and I'm probably going to get some hate for that. But it's just like those people, hey, wear the mask. You know, all the people that are yelling at you to wear your mask in public because it's not about you. It's about other people. Well, guess what? The vaccine's not about you. It's about other people. You can make that argument, and I'm sure this is going to irritate some people, and I really don't give a shit because it's just me. So
he said that on purpose. He's going to say it again so he doesn't get edited out.
Yeah. If you listen to Dr. Cheeseball on TV, the one who tells people to wear their mask and then goes to baseball game and doesn't wear his mask and can't throw a pitch.
He can't throw. I'll defend him, though, for a second. He was next to his wife, and I think it's his brother-in-law or
yeah.
somebody who's really close.
I know.
Plus, his name is on my wife's medical school textbook, so I'll trust him a little bit on this.
I'm not saying he's a complete...
People are experiencing Fauci fatigue. I will completely
yes,
agree with
that. That. And you know what? I think that's exactly what I'm experiencing yeah. is Fauci fatigue. I'm yeah. tired of, okay, now you need to wear eye protection and a face shield. Dude, why don't you just issue me a protective mask?
Suit.
Give me a protective mask from the military and let me roll around with that. Even though the virus is going to go right through, doesn't matter, but the charcoal air filter on it will filter out spit, and I should be okay for the most part. I mean, it at least just do that if that's really the way we're going. But I know things change as science evolves. I got that.
And we're seeing a scientific process.
We really are.
Live and in person.
We are. And it can be very frustrating, especially for parents, especially for dads.
You know what's frustrating, and it's going to be frustrating?
Watching the people who are watching the scientific process play out who never actually participated in labs in high school?
Besides that.
So you mean that person who didn't dissect the frog?
Oh, I didn't dissect the frog. I did the cow eye and the worm, and I can't remember what else
it was. I did the frog, the fetal pig, and forget the scientific process with biology. It was with physics where I have no idea what's going on.
Right, me too. I dropped it. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be frustrating. We have a large family, so we have four daughters. I also have a wife who is a teacher. If all five of them need to be on the internet at the same time...
Le crash.
Right. So we're making alternate plans to keep the kids and Wendy going in the case of not being in school at all. My parents live two houses away. They go away for the winter. They still plan on going away for the winter. Even if they stay home, I went and had my dad call about getting a senior citizen pricing for high-speed internet access. That gives us that house also in case we need it. The plan is, if my parents actually do go away, that if school is completely remote, then Wendy will use their house to teach class from, and possibly one of the girls. And then the rest of them can do here, because three and two, that would work out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we upped the internet on our house from like 200 to 400 megabyte.
I think we did the same thing.
And, you know, we needed it because I got three kids who are using the Wi-Fi for school. My wife and I are helping two of them. And we're all on electronic devices, and, you know, my mother's connected with all of her electronic device. I mean, I'm surprised I don't have cancer or something with all the Wi-Fi going through my house at this point. But
no, you only get that through 5G, and they're going to microchip you and everything. Yeah.
I understand that. You know, everybody's coming up with plans. Everybody's jumping through hoops. I keep hearing it's like I went into a sporting goods store named after a phallus the other day to get some new shoes, and... I heard over the speaker, please wear your mask. We're all in this together. Shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm here to get some sneakers and some footballs.
How about the Target store that may or may not be on Transit Road in East Amherst that has a display where you can buy masks, but they have a mirror so you can try it on first to see what you look like.
Do they really?
Yes.
That is the... Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody thought that through.
No, somebody didn't.
Well, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, no, and I was being as sarcastic in return. Oh, my.
The goodness. You know what I'm mad about? Speaking of down Transit Road and Target, the pubs, all the pubs in Western New York that are part of Wegmans are being shut down.
For real?
For real. Like, all of them. There's only nine, and including the one on Transit, no more pub. It is now... the cafe. Like, it doesn't even say pub on it anymore. Mm. And I was irritated about that.
Probably because they serve only wings.
Well, I like to go in there and get like a burger and fries or a wrap and fries or something, you know, and then go grocery shopping. You know, it was nice to sit down, have a decent lunch, and then go grocery shopping at my leisure.
We went to Canandaigua to see concerts. I love CMAC, which is the amphitheater there. We go down early. We go to the Wegmans. That's right there in Canandaigua. They have a fantastic cafe type thing. There's like four or five different stations. Amazing burgers there. And cheap. They're not crazy expensive. I think Wendy and I ate there and we spent like around $20. That was it.
You know what I discovered last night? And I know you guys are going to laugh at me because you've known about this forever. But I just discovered Marvin's.
Okay.
Down by the canal.
I don't know.
The fries there are pretty good.
The burger was great, and I had the Coney Tots, right? So they put the Coney sauce on the tots, and it's a chili-type sauce. I had no idea that it was the Coney sauce was going to be so close in taste to Cincinnati chili. I was like...
Did you get to eat there, or did you have to take it home?
We found us a nice big old picnic table, and we sat down at the picnic table.
Because I know dining in there right now is temporarily unavailable because someone tried to make it a literal drive-thru last week.
They did, but they were open. You order, you walk away, you go sit down at your picnic table, which is easily 20 feet from any other tables. And then you sit down at the picnic table and you eat.
That's cool.
And so, I mean, that's what we did yesterday.
All right. I think so. We've wrapped up what we want to talk about with sports and getting back to school and...
Sports.
Yeah. And the frustrations involved. And hopefully we'll be able to have somewhat normal things happening this fall.
I'm going back to school also. I'm going to throw that out there. And I'll have another blog post on it probably at some point. It'll be ready to go tonight and you'll have it ready to post tomorrow.
Okay. That's good.
Because I finished my classes.
And you're doing yours all virtually right now.
I finished 4 virtual classes this summer. I am in the process of asking a professor to let me enroll in another class this fall, which will give me 6 that I'd be taking this fall. All of the 6, if he lets me in, 4 of them will be exclusively online. One of them will be hybrid. The other one has the possibility of going fully online.
Good luck. I don't know how you do it because I couldn't. Well, virtual is probably a lot better, but I couldn't sit in a college classroom anymore. I would fall asleep.
Yeah, I have to do mine on my own. So, I mean, it's how I did my bachelor, which was virtual.
I'm not minding the online bit right now. I would welcome going back into a classroom because, you know, I just getting out of the house would be nice. But I don't know. We'll see. I do know that we'll have plenty to talk about next week, you know. Oh, wait a minute. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
So,
all right. So for Howie and Bobby, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. Tune in again next week when we come up with another topic that Howie probably won't be here for. Good night. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.